Penguin Random House Audio presents The Setup by Lizzie Dent. Read for you by Anna Gilthorpe. Prologue. The last Friday in August. There are two men in my life, but this is not a love triangle. I put my hand on the cold metal of the door and close my eyes. This is it. This is the moment I've been building towards for the last 3 months. I take a big, deep breath in and contemplate everything that has happened to bring me here, to this moment, to this decision. Can I go in? Am I going to see if he's here? I glance back down the street and I feel a strong pull along the waterfront in the other direction. Or am I heading home? To him? Trust your heart. Trust your gut. Trust your intuition. I shake my head. Which one of these invisible threads in my internal tug of war is my heart? Is it the soft and gentle pull home? A strong thread, I note. Strong and solid. Or is it the wild and hopeful yank towards what may or may not be behind this door? I feel my skirt blow against my thighs, the breeze whipping it up slightly. I look out towards the water, willing the ocean air to blow me in the right direction. But I know, deep down, that the only person who can make this decision is me. And after 31 years on this earth, I can say with absolute certainty the person I do not trust to make this decision is me. And yet, pushing this door open, even just to look, would be the decision. Can I deny myself that? Part 1. June. 1. Budapest. Szia, says a woman with a throaty Hungarian accent. Hiya, I say as I push the fringe blood-red velvet curtains aside. The room is dark, filled with strung beads, rich blue fairy lights and candles. I feel a thrill coursing through my veins as I move towards the small wooden table in the centre of the room. I can't believe I'm about to have my fortune read by a proper clairvoyant. I touch the red velvet tablecloth and peer at the worn deck of tarot cards on an almost burnt-out candle in one of those bronze candle holders with the finger hole. Tarot or de palm? My fortune teller asks, her back to me as she lights another candle. The golden glow around her adds to the mystique. Palm, I say hesitantly. If that's okay? There's always a risk of death with the cards, isn't there? Death, she whispers. Death can sometimes mean a rebirth. And then she slowly turns so she is now in profile, and I see the most, and I mean the most, enormous, bulging baby bump. I gasp. Oh, yes, I see. Rebirth because you're... I slap a hand in the direction of her belly and then giggle. But it's a nervous giggle. Do you need any help? No, she snaps as she struggles towards me. As I wait the long moments it takes for her to make her way to the table, I note the purple satin and gold lace enshrouding her, the thin gold chains around her neck and her wrists full of jangling bangles. Her face is obscured by the fall of the net veil, and I can just make out thick black eye makeup, the flash of gold hoop earrings. 10,000 forint for a full profile, which includes relationships, fortune and love. Yes, a full profile, I nearly shout it, my heart thumping almost loudly enough for me to hear it over the Eastern European folk music plucking away in the background. Sit, she commands. As I slide onto the little brown stool, she stops moving suddenly, her breath quickening. She is still for a moment, her shrouded face tilting up to the ceiling, then a moment later, she seems to visibly relax. Is reading my fortune causing her discomfort? What does that mean? Is my energy strong? Am I vibrating? I look down at my trembling hands. Sit, she says, even more sharply. I'm sitting, I say, as she finally breathes out and moves towards the table. Are you okay? Full profile, you said? Pass me your hand. I reach across and lay my hand in hers, palm facing up. Her fingers are clammy and warm. Are you ready? I feel almost giddy with excitement. Oh, yes, I say as I straighten myself up. I should tell you, I'm kind of an amateur astrology enthusiast. I'm a Sagittarius, by the way. Aquarius rising. I cannot believe I stumbled upon this place. It feels like I was meant to be here. Maybe after this, the road ahead will no longer be an endless, nerve-wracking mystery, but rather a future to be moved towards. A future I can believe in. Oh, my heart sighs. The quiet peace in that. There is a moment of silence before she turns her head down to inspect my palm. What is your name? Mara. And where are you from, Mara? England, I say brightly. And then, technically I'm from a small town just north of Newcastle on the Scottish border, but I'd need to get out a map. Well, Mara, she interrupts, this is your lifeline. There is very long line here, long and unbroken. Very general, nothing of note. Some signs of trauma here, but since then, very plain and unremarkable. I hold my tongue. Plain and unremarkable. I already know that. I tried and failed to stand out from the crowd, so I found it safer to stay in the shadows. I don't need to hear where I am now. I want to know where I'm going to be next. I need her to confirm what I feel in my bones, that something big is coming. Are you here on holiday? Yes, I say. I was supposed to be here with my best friend, her first post-baby getaway, but she pulled out because, well, babies are a lot of work. And then I glance down at her belly and swiftly add, I'm sure you'll be absolutely smashing at it, though. Nothing to worry about. I suppose you already know that, being a clairvoyant. Shh, she hisses. She seems uncomfortable, I notice, moving slightly in the seat. Sorry, I say meekly. Shut up, Mara. Although your life is small, you seek adventure, she continues. I frown. This was true once, as an 18-year-old leaving home with two suitcases and a head full of dreams. Now? I'm not so sure. If there's still a part of me that is adventurous, it's only a whisper. So quiet, I almost can't believe it was ever there. This long weekend away with my best friend was supposed to be an adventure. Charlie, a seasoned globetrotter, chose Budapest because she said it was the coolest destination on the planet. Hip new cafes, famous ruin bars built into the shell of crumbling buildings. It was the creative fashion and art community in Europe's new industrious home. She sold it to me hard. Then, Charlie pulled out abruptly. She was stressed about leaving baby Sophie, who'd had a fever two nights running, and she called me as I was trying to make every clothing possibility fit into a tiny hand luggage-only backpack. It was a mere 16 hours before the flight. It wasn't the first time she'd cancelled on me since becoming a mum, but I'd been so sure this trip was actually going to happen. Charlie and Mara, the flirty 30s, the brilliant sequel to our tipsy 20s, Charlie's return to the world, the long-anticipated reboot to our friendship. I was so deflated I cried. Then she cried and apologised, and I felt guilty for crying, and then, to alleviate my guilt, I put on the bravest face I could and told her I would go anyway, have a fantastic time, and she shouldn't worry at all. It'll be good for you, Mara, she'd said. But I've struggled for two straight days. Charlie prepaid for this incredible hotel in the heart of Terryveroch, the very coolest district in the city. The Stories Hotel has an enormous glass-ceiling atrium filled with huge plants, trees and hanging vines where you could sit for a cocktail or breakfast. My hotel room was also enormous, with dark plum walls and mid-century styling, an actual record player and a minibar with full 750ml bottles of tequila. Apparently, there was even a roaming bartender who could come to your door to shake you a margarita at 2 a.m. If ever a room was there to remind you that you were travelling alone, it was this room. Every time I looked across at the two ornate champagne coupes atop the bar, I plunged into a renewed sulk. I'd ventured out only to eat, peruse a few shops and scurry back to the comfort of my room and its super-fast Wi-Fi. On the second night, I even messed up the sheets on the other bed, just so I didn't feel so alone.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?